Proverbs 26. Lively crowd this morning. I guess everybody's had a full weekend or maybe part of a full weekend. Hope it's been beneficial for you and pleasant. This morning in chapter 26, Solomon talks about multiple kinds of people or manifestations of people. He talks about a fool. He talks about someone who is a sluggard. He talks about someone who is a busybody. And a person who is a whisperer. I would venture to guess all of these words are familiar to you. So I want you to think about this. We've talked many times about the reason why you see sayings of Solomon put together in things that are similar, because as people began collecting the sayings of Solomon, human beings put them in this form. If you were to just glance at these, you might think about, well, all of these are talked about quite often in the New Testament, but they don't really have a lot in common. In this text, he absolutely ties them all together into one basket. And I want to talk about this for a moment. We're going to go all the way back to chapter 1 in verse 20, where he introduces the first time who a fool is. A fool is someone who will not listen to others, will not listen to wise counsel. Can be any number of reasons. A person may just be arrogant beyond belief. A person may be depressed. A person may have a bitter spirit because things have gone wrong in their life. Whatever it is, they have fixed in their mind how things are, how the world works, and how things should be. And because of that, they're not going to listen. Because they're not going to listen, they don't get any better, right? They do not get better. And he says about them, there is one thing that causes this in a fool, a person who will not listen to other people, even though, from logic, just looking at it, you would say, this person doesn't really have any reason to feel like he's a know-it-all or she's a know-it-all, but they do. And what is behind it is, right? So pride is like a shield that wraps around someone's intellect, around their brain, and will not allow anything new to come in. A person who is a sluggard, who doesn't like working, doesn't believe in working. Do you know, over and over and over, this is the third time that Solomon deals with, in a large sense, who a sluggard is. He uses that many times in Scripture, but he deals with someone who will not listen. And the reason why they will not listen is because they think they know it all. I'm going to give you two examples as we move into that, right in this chapter alone. And why do they feel like they know it all? Because of pride. Here is a person that wants to get involved in other people's business. Solomon says it's like taking the ears of a dog and shaking a dog is a person who gets involved in the affairs of other people. Here's somebody that wants to get involved in your business, wants to get involved in everybody's business, because they feel like they have something to offer. And in many cases, it may be the best of intentions. It may be, I love this person and I want to help them. But if a person habitually does this, that this is a central part of their life, it comes from one place, according to Solomon. And that is, they know it all. I know more than you do, and I can help you. I need to get involved in your business. I need to tell you how to fix your marriage, how to fix your kids, how to fix your financial life, how to fix this, how to fix that. And what causes that? A person who traffics in information. Someone who will whisper something to you, and what they're wanting to do is prime the pump. I want to prime the pump so information comes back to me. My grandmother, when I was a little boy, used to have this saying. Every time people started asking her all kinds of questions, not like she had anything to hide, but she would say to them, are you writing a book? I didn't realize, are you writing a book about me? I didn't realize that. Now that was her way of saying, you're trying to tell me things and ask me things because you want to know information. Information to some people is power. And so what happens is, all of these are tied together in one place. Now, this is not my opinion. It's the opinion of Solomon, the man who wrote the book of Proverbs. You will see how many times in this text, in just chapter 26 and a few other passages we're going to look at, how many times he ties all four of these fundamentally to one thing. And that is, people will not listen to sound judgment because they think they've got it all figured out. What causes people to think that they have everything in life figured out? Pride or arrogance. I want to start this morning in chapter 1 of Proverbs in verse 20. We will come back in just a moment to chapter 24. It is where Solomon introduces what a fool is from his perspective. You may see this differently as far as how what you think that a person like that is, but I'm going to tell you, from his perspective, it was introduced in the very first chapter, and then he carries it through chapter after chapter after chapter. I want to begin in chapter 1 in verse 20. Wisdom shouts in the streets. She lifts her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the gate of the city, she utters her sayings. How long, O naive one, will you love simplicity and scoffers delight themselves in scoffing or making fun of things that are right? And fools hate knowledge. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you and make my words known to you. So he starts out by saying that wisdom's everywhere. If you actually want wisdom, it's everywhere. It shouts in the street. It's on every corner. You can find wise people who will help counsel you. Verse 24, God says, because I called and you refused. I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention. And you neglected all of my counsel and you did not want my reproof. I will even laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes, like a storm, and your calamity comes on like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. They will call on me, people who were foolish, who did not want his reproof or wisdom. They will call on me, but what does God say? I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, eventually. And what happens? Not going to find me. They will not find me. He says in verse 30, verse 29, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they will not accept my counsel. They spurned all of my reproof. So they will eat all the fruit of their way and be satiated with their own desires. For the waywardness of the naive, which is another word he uses for fool, the waywardness of the naive shall kill them, and the complacency of the fool shall destroy them. But he who listens to me shall live securely and shall be at ease from the dread of evil. Let's go back to chapter 26 now, verse 1. So you can see very clearly Solomon talking about, from God's perspective, someone he calls a fool in that category. What makes them a fool? They wouldn't listen. They would not listen even when there should have been ample evidence in their lives that things were not going right. They wouldn't listen. Now, this could come from hardening of the attitudes. It could come from depression. It can come from just a bad attitude about life. It could come from other manifestations. It might be loud. It might be quiet. But from God's perspective, as we're talking about in this text, a fool is a person who will not listen to wisdom. Even when the time comes that they should have figured out, I need a little help. Why? Because if they don't listen, there's no chance of them getting better. Why is there no chance of getting better? Because they won't listen. Why won't they listen? That's where it's tied together. Now, after we have our opening prayer, I want you to look with me at the multiple times in this chapter, and we're not going to look at every verse, and I'm not going to talk about every verse. I want you to look at how many times in this chapter, these four categories of people, he's saying they wouldn't listen, they would not listen, they were right in their own eyes. Look at how many times in this text he talks about that. Oh, would you lead us in prayer, please? So chapter 26, if I were to give this a title, I would say the whole chapter would be, how do you respond to godly instruction? How does a person respond to wise instruction? In verse 12, you're going to see the summation of the first 11 verses. I want to look at that and then go back. Verse 12, do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Now, he just makes the point in chapter 1 of the book of Proverbs, how much hope was there for a man that he called a fool? Almost none. Why? Because God says, because you wouldn't listen to me. When you start looking for me, you're not going to find me. Now, he says a person who is wise in his own eyes, there's more hope for a fool than someone like that. The reason is, in all of our cases, I would venture to guess every person here has been in this place. I clearly have in my life. So you have this impenetrable shield around your ears and brain where you cannot hear wise instruction. Would you believe with me that Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, the wisest man, the man that wrote this text, his son was a fool? You believe that? Why? Why was he a fool? So you see things that are hard to understand. I see godly people who have children that are fools, and they blame themselves. I'm going to tell you, Hezekiah was one of the greatest kings that ever lived, and his son, Manasseh, was horrible. He was the most disgusting king that ever lived. In this case, I would tell you, Solomon, who was the son of David, built a massive empire, a tremendously wealthy empire, and his son, in a few years' time, blew it to pieces because he was wise in his own eyes, and he listened to the wrong counsel. Let's go back now to verse 1. I want to look at verses 1, 3, 4, and 5, and look at this together. Like snow in the summer and rain in harvest, what is the likelihood in most parts of the world that you're going to have snow in summer? It's not really a timely thing, is it? The last time in the world, I would say, farmers want rain is when they're trying to harvest their crops. I've had a few times in my life, you probably have too, I have seen who knows how many millions of dollars of cotton sitting in a field because they couldn't get it out. It was raining every single day. I would tell you rice farmers around here this last year are struggling to make one crop, and they usually make two to three because it rained throughout the entire harvest period. They couldn't get in. So is honor not fitting a fool. Now, he's going to give you a number of bullet points. So here is a person who by nature is a fool, and we pay honor, or someone pays honor to them, maybe someone that's a little bit naive. Why is that not appropriate? Just like rain and harvest, and just like snow and summer, why is it that paying tribute to a fool is not appropriate? How long is it going to be before you're going to be made to be a fool? How long will it be before you say, man, I wish we had never done that? Look in verse 3. A whip is for a horse, and a bridle for a donkey, and a rod for the back of fools. Why is that? Trying to get their attention. Trying to get something that would cause them to realize their issue. Look in the 19th chapter. Chapter 19 and verse 29. So he says this multiple times. This is actually the fourth time. I'm just going to look at a couple. Chapter 19 and verse 29. Judgments, or some translations will say rods, I think, are prepared for scoffers and blows for the back of fools. So when you take a look in chapter 29, you might look over at chapter 29 for just a moment. Chapter 29 in verse 9, when a wise man has a controversy with a foolish man, the foolish man either does one of two things. Now these are indications, these are indicators of when a person's a fool. So here is wise counsel that comes to a fool in 29 and 9, and a fool will respond one of two ways. What are those two ways in 29 and 9? Either it gets enraged or laughs, scoffs. Looking back to 26 and 4. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him. Verse 5. Answer a fool as his folly deserves, lest he be wise in his own eyes. This is the first of several times that he's putting that in there. Now, here is a person that is a fool. They will not listen to wise counsel. There have been countless times that they have been blundered about the head and shoulders, and they will not listen to wise counsel. So I have to be careful how I respond. If I respond to them a way that seems to endorse what they're doing, what did I just do? I made it better. I made it worse for them. I made them feel better is what I meant to say. But the fact of the matter is, I just basically help to solidify in their brain that they know what they're talking about, when in many cases they don't. Now, in looking at this, you can see many times, I'm going to give you one example in the book of Matthew, the 19th chapter. He talks about this, chapter 21, Matthew 21. People came to Jesus Christ and they said to him, where does your authority come from? Tell me where your authority comes from and who gave you that authority? From their vantage point, they had their rabbinical schools, they had their schools that you grew up in, our schools, and we know where you went from, and we know where your education came from. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes out speaking like a wise person, and they want to know, where does your authority come from? Now, could he have answered them and shown them all of his diplomas and degrees? I guess he could have. Anybody know how Jesus answered these people? How did he answer them, Owen? Okay, John the Baptist. Okay. Now, there was a reason for that. He says, well, I'm going to ask you a question first. Now, he's responding in the way he ought to respond. So he says, well, you answer my question, I'll answer your question. John the Baptist, where did his wisdom come from, heaven or earth? The next verse tells you why he used that. Anybody know what it says? They beheld John to be a prophet. They knew if they said, well, John's wisdom came from man, that they would have probably been stoned. And so they were not willing to say it. And Jesus says, so I will not tell you where my authority comes from. Now, how about if he used that time to try to teach a sermon about God and God's power and how God created the world and how he was the Son of God? Would that have been an appropriate way to answer these fools? Wouldn't have listened. Now, he taught his disciples in the 10th chapter. This is in chapter 21. And Matthew's chronological. He taught them in chapter 10, I'm sending you out as sheep amongst wolves. If you go into a city and people will not accept my word, what do? Shake the dust off your feet and move on. Why? Because they're not going to accept it. And so in verse 5, he says, answer a fool as his folly deserves. One of the things that I see happen in my own life and in the lives of other people, and I've joked about this, but I'm very serious. Too many of us have two or three people that we're going to drag to heaven kicking and screaming no matter what, and we spend 100% of our time trying to drag these few people to heaven. And the fact is, they don't want to go to heaven. And you know what happens when we spend all of our time on a few people like that? You get a bad attitude. You get a bad attitude. And when you get a bad attitude, the devil wins. Instead of just saying, you're not going to accept it, I need to find somebody else. Instead of spending all of my time getting upset or depressed, when someone's not going to accept it anyway. So he makes two points in verses 4 and 5. Don't answer a fool according to his folly. Don't do something that's going to further endorse in the brain of the fool that he knows what he's talking about, or she knows what she's talking about. Lest you also be like him. And number 5, fools answer a fool according to what he deserves, lest he be wise in his own eyes. You're going to have to somehow, as Jesus did, and we could use many other examples of parables where he's making the point. The point is, I'm wasting my time. If I've come to be confident that a person will not listen to wisdom, there's no chance that they're going to get any better. And the reason why there's no chance they're going to get any better is because of pride. I talked about this in a class not long ago. I used two examples in the Bible. Hebrews chapter 11 says, after people who are willfully sinning, chapter 26, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. That's what the 10th chapter says. Chapter 6 says it's impossible. It is impossible to restore one again to salvation. Chapter 10, verse 31 says it's impossible because there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. What is the sacrifice for sin? The blood of Christ. Not for you. So 1 John 5 says there is a sin that leads to death. So when you say it's impossible to restore one to salvation, why? There no longer remains a sacrifice for sin, the Hebrew writer says. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, 15, and 16 says there is a sin that leads to death. Now my question is, What's that talking about? How does it ever become impossible for someone who's alive to be restored?
But then the scripture says, as someone's heart becomes seared over, they just won't let God's word penetrate it anymore. So when someone becomes so hard-hearted, there's no way.
And here's the reason right here. The sin that cannot be forgiven is one that is not repented of. A sin that a person will not ask for the blood of Christ to cover will never be forgiven. Well, why is that? You're not going to get any better off. Why are you not getting any better off? Because a person refuses to listen to wisdom. And so he says, in a fool's case, the problem is they already think they're right in their own eyes. And so he says in verse 5, don't respond in a way that you're going to help to enforce in that person's mind they're right in their own eyes. In verse 6, I want to talk a little bit about being unreliable, unpredictable, and unreliable. In verse 6, he who cuts off his own feet and drinks violence, who sins a message by the hand of a fool. I'm going to read several and talk about them together. Like the legs which hang down from the lame, so is the a proverb, a wise saying in the mouth of fools. Like one who binds a stone to a sling, so is he who gives honor to a fool. The stone is supposed to go out of the sling. If you tie it up and you're just spinning it around, all you're going to do is wear yourself out. So he says, like one who binds a stone in a sling, so is he who gives honor to a fool. That's exactly what he says in verse 1. Like a thorn which falls from the hand of a drunkard, so is the proverb in the mouth of a fool. Like an archer who wounds everyone. Can you imagine an archer who calls himself an archer, but he just shoots and hits everybody and everything? Like an archer who wounds everyone, so is he who hires a fool or hires those who pass by. Like a dog that returns to its vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. Now, in this text, I'm going to talk about them very briefly. What you're seeing is, if someone is unpredictable, they're unpredictable because of what we just talked about up here. Being unpredictable makes them unreliable. If they become your friend, if they become your messenger, if they become the person that you bring up to say, this is going to be the person who stands to testify that I'm correct. If this is the person who tries to help you get a job, all of them are going to fall in the same category. And the reason is they're not predictable. And if they're not predictable, they're not reliable. What makes a person be unreliable throughout their life? Well, because of exactly this vicious cycle, right? So if I want a fool to endorse me, I look at the points now very quickly he talks about. In verse 6 beginning, somebody that cuts off their own feet, how smart is that? Or constantly promotes violence is a person who sends a message by the hand of a fool. I've now asked a person who is a fool to be my messenger, to be my spokesperson, to help me fix a problem. Why would that be a challenge? They're not predictable. They're not a person that you could, they're not going to be reliable in what you do. Like the legs that hang down from a lame person. How much value is that? He says, so is the proverb in the mouth of fools. Here's a wise saying that went into a fool's brain and may have flown out their mouth, but it's not really who they are. But look a little further, verse 8. One who binds a stone in a sling. Now you understand, since I was a little boy, I always wondered this. When King David decided he was going to fight Goliath, he had a slingshot or a sling. This is an amazing thing to me. How many stones did he take? How many? Five. Now, I wonder what was in that young boy's mind. Now, he's going after a fellow that's almost 10 foot tall. He was probably a teenager, maybe 20 years old. He took 5 stones. How many did it actually take? The first stone buried right in the center of the giant's brain. But what if David would have said, I'm going to go after that Goliath, and I'm going to take some leather straps, and I'm going to wrap this one pebble up, and I'm going to keep it in my sling, and I'm going to just sling it, and I'm going to sling it, and I'm going to sling it, but there's no chance that the stone ever left the sling. Would you have called him a fool? Now look at what he says. Verse 8, like one who binds a stone in a sling, so is he who gives honor to a fool. Like a thorn that falls into the hand of a drunkard, so is the proverb of a fool. Like an archer that wounds everyone, so is he who hires those who pass by, hires a person that's a fool. Like a dog that returns to its vomit, that's from 2 Peter 2:22, Peter quotes that, is the fool who repeats his folly. What causes fools to repeat their folly? Right here. This is it. This is it. The reason why a fool will repeat the same folly is because they're not going to listen. They're not going to get new information in their brain. And so in verse 12, you see a man who's wise in his own eyes. There's more hope for a fool than for him. Now I want to spend a minute on the sluggard, because we talked about this for just in some detail. And I'm going to go back to a couple chapters before. But look at a person now who is a sluggard. And I want you to think about it. I'm going to tell you a quick story. I have a very dear friend who's a year older than me. Graduated from Texas A&M University. No laughs, please. And his wife graduated from A&M. And he had a good career at Dow Chemical. We worked together. We're good friends. His wife was head of the math department at Brazosport High School for her last 20 years of being there. Extremely intelligent people. She had a younger brother my age who got a degree in electrical engineering from Texas A&M University. Then he got a master's degree. But he never could keep a job. He's 63 years old. And the reason is, the people that employed him were fools. They were not smart enough. He would go to work for a company and they didn't know what they were doing, and he just got disgusted by it and he quit. 5-6 years ago, this friend came in to visit with me. Now, their mother and father had passed away and left a pretty good amount of money, a few $100,000 to each one of them. This boy blew through it in 6 months. Boy, he's my age. 5 years later, after that, this friend comes in, and he did not realize that his wife had been funneling large amounts of money to her brother. He wasn't really keeping up with the checkbook. She's the math major. And so there was a big blow up. The last 3 or 4 or 5 years of this man's life is, how are we going to make sure he doesn't starve to death, but not empower him to be a sluggard? A sluggard always has a reason for not working. I had an old friend that says, I'm not afraid of work. I'll sit down right beside it. But look at what happens here in verse 13. The sluggard said, there's a lion in the road. You can't go out there. You can't work. It'll be scary. It's harmful to go out and work. So a lion in the open square, as the door turns on its hinges, so does a sluggard in his bed. When he talked about this just 2 chapters before, in chapter 24 and verse 30, he says, a little sleep, a little slumber. Anybody know what he said next? And poverty will come upon you like a vagabond. Now here's a person that is a sluggard, and I'm going to ask you this. How far does a door get from its hinges? That's how far a slugger is going to get from his bed. Now, look at a little bit further. I want to make this point. Now, I don't want to take up Scott's time, even though I tend to. In verse 15, The sluggard buries his hand in a dish. He's weary of bringing it to his mouth. Here's somebody that's so lazy, they'll put their hand in a dish of food and won't even take it to their mouth. But look at the next verse. The sluggard is what? Wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can give a discreet answer. Now, we're going to stop here because of time. But would you agree with me that Solomon says the problem with the slugger is arrogance? And the arrogance comes from being a know-it-all. He's wiser or she's wiser in her own mind than anybody else. Well, why is that a problem? Well, because they're not going to listen to wisdom and instruction, right? Now, Lord willing, Wednesday night, this is going to be singing? No, it will not. I'm going to show you how both of these, here's a person that's always wanting to help, wanting to help, wanting to help, wanting to help, but it appears that they're always wanting to get involved in other people's business. Why is that? Here's a person that's a whisperer. I'm going to tell you, they are tied in Solomon's mind and in God's mind to the same place. All of these are hung from the same tree. It has to do with people who are not going to get better because of arrogance or pride. Any comments on that before we close? So we will pick up the latter part of chapter 26, Lord willing, on Wednesday evening. Appreciate your comments.